Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by ICOM. For more information, visit ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation.
This is Ham Nation, episode number 279, December 21st, 2016. Dick, KK4OBI, walks us through his modeling of his antennas.
Yes, that's Christmas music in the background. Why? Because it's Christmas and you're tuned to Ham Nation. Wow. And we're going to have some real fun tonight. Let me tell you, we got all the troops are here and... What can I tell you? We're going to have fun, but we've got a very special guest that's going to teach us a lot. So we're just going to have Christmas fun. So don't go away. Call all the kids and your grandma and your mother and your father and sit them all down around and watch the old tube tonight because it's fun on Ham Nation. This is Bob Heil being crazy from the Ozarks. And... we have all the regular players plus tonight. Gordo, how you doing in Costa Mesa?
I'm okay, and a very happy holidays to all of you. I've been making a list and been making a list and keeping it twice, and all is well down here. Back to you, Bob.
Okay, super, super. And I think George is here tonight. George, how are things in Mississippi?
Things are doing pretty well here. It's turned a little bit cooler here, but it's warming back up, so I don't know what it's going to be like Christmas. So I kind of I dressed for the way it felt today. I thought this was a black tie affair tonight, though.
Well, it kind of is. It's a really special time, and your bow tie looks great, let me tell you. But let you know that we're a simulcast on WTWW tonight. I think he's got the 100,000 water on 5085, 5.085. And we're just so gracious to have that happen. Ted and his family keep it going, and it's really great because we're being heard from around the globe. And amateur radio is a great hobby, and we're letting more and more people know about it, and we're glad to be here on this show tonight. We're going to have a really super thing with Dick Reed a while ago, in a little bit. A while ago, I found his website, and wait till you see what he's going to teach us about antennas. I'm very excited to visit with Dick, KB4OBI, so we'll go see him in a little bit, see what's happening. But in the meantime, Gordo has some shots, so let's see what you got, Gordo.
I do, and I've got some great shots for all of you. And Brian, if you want to go ahead and tune in to what we recommend you do, our audience, for next year, 2017. Go to a ham fest. Ham fests are fun, and you always learn something at a ham fest. You can tune in to Clint Bradford, who's talking all about working the satellites. You can see all about kits, and there's our main man, the kit guy. You can tune in to kids that were on Last Man Standing. And you can tune in to Gordo back in the 60s, maybe the 70s, doing Dayton at a new location. And, of course, Ham Instructor Academy will offer this year, hopefully at Dayton, and we bring the stuff. You got to have stuff to teach. Commercial, if you got the extra, go for the GROL. The questions are the same in about 70% of the cases, and you end up with your general radio operator license that allows you to work on radio equipment for marine applications and aeronautical. And of course, go to a ham fest this coming year and take advantage of all the excitement there. Do field day. Field day is always exciting. Do a drone this year. put it on 2.4 ham frequencies and go extra far. And, of course, put up that big antenna for field day and make it happen. Quartz Fest coming up in about 3 weeks from now, maybe a month. Quartz Fest is fun. I'll be there. It is a absolute blast on the desert floor. A drone picture on Ham Channel shows us all the activities, great seminars, and we're looking for more seminars. So if you have a seminar, whether it's on doing power pole connectors by swedging them on, or a microwave at 2.4 for mesh network. We're looking for experts. And, of course, bring the kids. We got to have the kids involved with ham radio. Do a fair this coming years, a county fair. And, wow, when I heard my signals off the moon, I was pretty impressed. So do some moon bounce. Do some antenna testing this coming year. Make a resolution to build a weird antenna that performs not so bad on the HF bands. Put up some more antennas so those neighbors will go, oh, my God, more aluminum. Climb your own tower. Be brave like Michael is. And build your own stuff like Jim Ford and 6J up across the street. And Chip and I, we always enjoy working you, HF, on Thanksgiving. Amateur television, the ATN network is always looking for more hams. We're going digital, so be thinking about digital amateur television. And digital amateur television really captivates those at a fairgrounds. Do a little bit of CW. Remember, CW straight key night is coming up, so get out those CW paddles. Oh, you've got to do it straight key. Can't do it that way. And think about digital. So take the Kenwood 990 that I have, put it into the digital mode, do a little RTTY, and make next year a banner year for going digital and explore all there is. We're coming up in the giant sunspot that will take advantage of the solar eclipse, collect some QSL cards during the full solar eclipse, light up a fellow ham as they play with the CW keyers. Most important, get on all of the HF bands for 2017. And join Bob and me and Sarah and all of the ham operators here on Ham Nation making ham radio happen. So don't just be at home watching Ham Nation all by yourself. Get out there and join a group and make it happen for 2017. We won't see you until 2017, but we'll be back in January. So 73, happy holidays to every one of you, and we'll see you next year. Bob, back to you.
Oh, yes. It's when you think about it, this is our last show this year. And we've gone to almost 280 shows. That's just amazing. And we thank everybody for hanging in here and keeping us all together, because we need people to keep us together. Because Don's not here right now, so somebody's going to do it. George, I think you might have a few things that going to happen, and it's got something to do with Christmas and lights, right?
It does, Bob. You know, I was trying to come up with something new to do for the show tonight, and I played around with some ideas, and fortunately, about 2 o'clock this afternoon, I finally got it together. So here's my Christmas presentation.
This week on Smoke and Solder, I wanted to do a little something to celebrate the holidays. And I thought, what better way to celebrate the holidays than with flashing lights? So why not build a color organ? I did some searching around and found several schematics. Some of them were strictly analog circuits. Others were using the Arduino and a series of analog filters with it. And I found a few that used FFT libraries, that's fast Fourier transforms, that allow you to work in the time and frequency domain and separate the different bands of audio that way. So that's how I decided to go. The first example I tried did not work. However, the second one works fine. I found this at arduino-cool.blogspot.com, and we modified it just slightly. He was using a microphone preamp and a little op amp here to get the audio level up. We're just going to feed line-level audio straight into the unit. Here's my circuit. I didn't have any 27K or 2.7K ohm resistors. What I did is I just strung three 10K ohms together, And on the other side for the bias, I used a 2.2 K ohm. Of course, that's tapped in the middle there and runs over to analog input 1. I've got the plus 5 in the ground run to the plus 5 and ground buses on my perf board here. I've got three PWM digital outputs connected to three 470-ohm resistors that go to three different LEDs. Now, when we operate this, the low frequencies will trigger the red LED, the mid-range frequencies will trigger the green one, and the higher frequencies will trigger the blue LED. We're putting audio in right here through a 4.7 microfarad capacitor that also runs over to the terminal that's going to analog input number 0. So let's see how it works. I would go over the source code with you here, but it's written in a foreign language, and my Espanoli is not very good. So we'll skip that and just fire it right up. Yeah, that was a lot of fun, and I was real proud when it worked because I spent several hours playing around with some other code that did not work. But, you know, that's why I like those Arduinos. You can do so much with them. You know, it's just a small little microcontroller, sort of like a computer. You can program it, but you can find a lot of stuff out there on the Internet that other people have already written. You can just download it into the unit and hook a few wires and you're ready to go. So that was amazingly simple. I didn't have to build any filters that normally you would have to do to make a color organ. Basically just ran audio straight into it and hooked some LEDs to it. Now the FFT stuff, yeah, that's pretty heavy duty there. And I'm glad that somebody else wrote that because, you know, that's a little over my head. But I got something to give away here. And, you know, last week, for the last several weeks, we've been playing What the Heck Is It? And last week I asked, what the heck is this? It looks like a transformer, doesn't it? But there's only two wires coming out of it. Well, I had a winner, and most everybody got this one right. Phil K2PJW said, it looks like it's a choke. And that's correct, Phil. It is a choke. And, you know, just same thing as a coil or an inductor. This particular one, I think, probably came from Radio Shack years ago. I think it's a 4-amp choke that you could use with a tape player or something to keep your alternator whine from coming out your speakers. Just put that in series in your power line. Well, we're going to be sending you this MFJ
270 Guardian Angel surge suppressor. It's a gas block type of surge suppressor. This one is good, I believe, from, I don't even remember now. I know it's rated at 400 watts. Good from DC to 1 gigahertz. And it's, this one's got PL259 connectors on it. So, Phil, stick that in your coax and protect your rig a little. So next week, well, we won't be here because we'll have a best of show going. So we're not going to ask the question right now. We're going to wait till next year before we ask any more questions. But, you know, that's only a couple of weeks away. And if you're looking for something to do Friday night, well, Tommy and I will be shooting the next Ham College at live.amateurlogic.tv. Come over there and join us, and we'll talk some ham radio with you. And now, Bob, I understand you've got a special guest with us tonight that's going to teach us a thing or two about antennas.
I do. It's a great Christmas present. I met up with him through EHAM. There was a listing on EHAM about his website, and I'm going, wait a minute. So we're going to learn a lot about it because he's got some great graphics. And Dick, how are you? Dick Reed, KK4OBI. Sure, nice to have you with us, Dick.
Yeah, you know, that when I got on there with you guys, you see what I did. I got my hat on so I could be just like you.
That's great. Well, I think probably the best thing to do is to have Brian bring up your website and okay. Let's just go through some of it. There it is, and I entice everybody to look this up because there's a lot of information. And when you page down, things really start to happen. Your graphics are incredible, and we want to look through some of those. There you go. All right. And let's stop right there, Brian. Let's talk about that. Dick, tell us a little bit what we're seeing here and how you did that.
Yeah, okay, let's slide over a little bit and pick up the menu side also on this. Yeah, a little more, okay. Now go up to the top of the menu. Okay, and right up there you see it says horizontal, okay? So it's organized, everything is just a dipole, and we start out with a horizontal, and we can take a horizontal antenna, a dipole, and do a lot of stuff with it. So you see the standard dipole. And what you're looking at in the text here is when you click on that link, this is what you see, the horizontal dipole. And these are the characteristics of a dipole. There's nothing amazing here. This is what we've been looking at all our lives. The one thing, I'll stop right there. Oh, where it says 4NEC2 antenna model here. Every page on here has an antenna model or more that's behind what the data that you see that's been developed and compiled and shown in the graphics right here. This is for the fellows that say, oh, hey, you know, that's something that I was thinking about, and I wondered what happens if I were to make this so it would be like my place, where it's only 40 feet high on this side and 20 feet on this side, and I got a 20-foot peak on my roof and so on and so forth. They can... If they're into modeling, they can take that and go and jigger with it. If you scroll down a little bit here now, there you go. Standard stuff. This is your typical polar graph that you see all the time. The antenna is, and all the antennas in here are set up in an idealized way. This one, like all of them, are going to be at a half wave elevation, which is the perfect point. That's where you get, as you can see right there, a nice, no vertical radiation. It's all horizontal coming off the sides of the dipole. And the red line on the left there, that's looking down on the 3D graphic on the right. The blue line is looking at the side of that 3D graphic on the right. So you see these polar graphs a lot, but you don't see the 3D, and the 3D really helps make it come alive there. All right, scroll down a little bit more. Okay, stop there. Now, where it says click here is to see a table of elevation effects on antenna radiation patterns for these bands, 160, 75, 40, 20. You click on that, There you go. You need to slide over a little bit. Now to the left. You're losing the left side. No, you're losing the left side. There you go. Okay. And when you look down the right side there, you see that same pattern we were just looking at. But when you're only a tenth of a wavelength off of the ground, you basically have, I don't know, what would you call that?
Cloud warmer.
Cloud.
I don't know what you call that, but most of the radiation is going up, right? And when you get up to a quarter wavelength, it's starting to go out. When you get up to a half wavelength, voila, there you go. You got a nice standard dipole half wave pattern that goes up from the size of the antenna. When you go on up to 75, there's the ground reflection coming up, and now you got all kinds of your radiation going straight up again. And so if you raise it a little bit more, up to one wavelength, lo and behold, if you look on the right there, you see that that ball that went up flattens out. You're going to have to back out just a little bit so you can see the graphic, the 3D. Yeah, there. You see that ball flattens out? And when it flattens out like that, now you have two rings. And when you go up a little bit more, another quarter wavelength, now you got that ball coming up from the ground again. And then you got all that radiation going straight up again. And unless you're interested in near vertical incident sky wave, you've got your stuff going the wrong direction. So if you keep going up, you get the next half wavelength. That's one and a half wavelengths. Look at there. Now you got three loops, three radiation rings. And then you up to 175, which is halfway. There you go. You're losing more radiation straight up. The pattern repeats every half wavelength. Go down a little bit. Yeah, there you go. Here's the same pictures. Go up a little bit more so they can see the polar graph there. There you go. All right. So there is stepping through at various elevations, halfway, 6, 7, 8, 1, 1, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 2 wavelengths. See how that works? Sometimes a guy I see on a forum sometimes says, I raised my antenna up 20 feet and it's not working as well as it did at where I had it. Well, there's your reason. You probably have found inadvertently a good spot, and when you raise it up, you just destroyed your wave pattern, and now you got radiation going up and not going out. Okay, let's go back. Now, there is an up and down curve. You see this all the time. This is pretty basic stuff. Now, the one thing that I disagree with, because I just took my general test and what have you, is that in the test, they say that this curve goes down to zero, and that when I looked to see why they said that, it's in space. Well, okay, I suppose that's a good way to teach it to people, but that ain't the way it is when you're down on the ground, and what you're looking at there is the way it is. And when you talk about how high you are off the ground, if you can see right there at a quarter wavelength, that's between 0.00 and 0.5, there you're looking at the highest, the purple line, that's the highest impedance, and that's and it's the lowest frequency that piece of wire is going to have. You can have, if you want to mess around a little bit, you can find a spot right in between there where the impedance is pretty close to 50 ohms. You can down to about 55 ohms, it says right there, and that's a decent match for coax. And you can see also that the frequency is gone down quite a bit. That means you have to lengthen it. Every time you take a dipole and mess with it, you raise the frequency because you're shortening it. And right there, by moving it up and down, you're doing the same darn thing. So if you want to run a dipole at as close to matching a coax, you run it at about, it looks like about 0.3 wavelengths, and the impedance will be low. And if you lengthen it out, you can get right back on frequency. The only problem is you're not going to get much signal out because it's all being warming the ground, getting the worms warm. Oh, okay. Out the side, you can see an animation going there. That's the animation we were looking at before. Okay, go on down. I think I've already said that. It's every half wavelength where you see the the best spot. So it's half wave, one wavelength, one and a half. And if you keep going up, you can see that with a wall, that line converges ultimately probably right about 72 ohms, which is what we talk about for a dipole. Okay, slide over a little bit to the so we can look at the selection page there. One of the first things you talk about is how do I get this antenna to fit into my attic? Well, bent end dipole is a pretty good example. This is what everybody does. You either bend the ends down or you bend them up. And if you do, what happens to the signal? Well, a lot of people worry about that. If you scroll down a little bit, there we have first you see there's the antenna model if you want to go mess around with it. But without having to do that, here I've done it all for you right there. You can see the red line is how does your gain change? Well, you look down below and you can see on the left side, that's perfectly straight. And as you go across and you bend 10% of the end or 20% of the end, that's 80%, 70%, 60%. The more you bend it, you see the gain starts to go down. So you can probably bend the ends to about 50 or 60%. And not really have any particular problem with the antenna and tuning it and what have you. If you look at the green line there, like I said, every time you bend an antenna or it sags or you do something like that, you're making it a little shorter, and the frequency goes up, so you got to lengthen it a little bit. Well, that green line is how much to lengthen it, and on the right side it says in percentage how much you lengthen. So if you went out to about bending the antenna at about halfway, it would be about, looks like maybe about almost 4%. You'd have to make it longer to bring the frequency back to where it was when it was straight. How about gain? Standing wave ratio, the blue line on the bottom. If you look at that, you start out with a standing wave ratio of about 1.3, which is what you would expect with a 72-ohm dipole into a 50-ohm line. But you notice that it goes down to one. You can get almost a perfect match when you match it, or when you bend your antenna up to 50 or not quite, maybe about 60% of the length. It's a pretty neat way to make a compact antenna and get it to tune up if you lengthen it a little bit to get it back on frequency. That's all.
Dick, when I found your page, I got into it, and I spent at least an hour, and I was just minimal into what's in there. This is just amazing stuff, and what's so good about it are the 3D capture of what happens. We've all seen the graphs, and that's okay, they're there, but you have really put it on the map when you can have all of those 3D graphs. Those are amazing.
Yeah, well, doesn't that make it so much clearer? All right, now here, look at here. This one of the other things that the 4NEC2 software does is, and it's part of the NEC core, is that you can isolate the vertical and the horizontal components. And so that's what it's showing right here. You can see that on the left is the horizontal. So there's a dipole. It's still a plain dipole, but you can see on the right side, that's the vertical component. Well, where does that come from? Well, obviously from the bent ends. And so you have some single signal going out off the ends now. And if you compare the pattern, the full pattern with a conventional dipole, you see that the pattern is fatter. It isn't as long because you don't have quite as much gain, but it's fatter because you got some gain coming out the sides from the vertical component right there.
There's just a tremendous amount of information there, and we hope that all the viewers can go check that page out. How long did it take you to do all of these?
Well, the probably the most straightforward answer is about a year. The reason that it exists is that I had accumulated, I don't know, I must have had half a dozen binders full of modeling information on all kinds of things, and that was I can say that was about a two-year accumulation before I started this. So I don't know, maybe the total thing might be about 3 years.
Wow. Well, we want to have you back here. We got to digest this a little bit. But Gordo, have you seen his stuff before, Gordo? What do you think?
I have. And, you know, seeing it in color makes such a difference. Every so often you'll see a manufacturer of an off-center fed dipole or a dipole send you a plot that's black and white. But nothing beats what Dick has done putting it in color. So, Dick, thank you. You did a fabulous job. And I hope every single viewer and listener and shortwave listener will tune into your website. Dick, tell us one more time the best way to upload all this great information, Dick.
Probably the easiest way is just Google KK4OBI, and it comes right up. That's all over the. If you Google dipole, if you do bent dipole, any of these things, but the website is qsl.net, KK4OBI.
That is fabulous. Yeah, well, Dick, thank you so much for coming on board. I bet we'll have you back in an instant. And all of us that roll dipoles, and I certainly do here, and I know Bob's got a whole shot of dipoles that I've seen at his QTH. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And happy holidays, Dick. And thank you for joining us tonight on Ham Nation.
Gordon, you're...
That's really...
You're a happy fellow. I can see that. You cover us real good. You make it easy to join up with a fellow, a bunch of guys like you. Thank you very much.
Well, Dick, Merry Christmas to your wife, and we'll be in touch. And what I want you to do, he just got his general license. We want you to fire up some antennas, and I know you can, and we'll get George and Gordo and all of us, we'll have to get on a big conversation and make it happen. What do you think, George? You think we can learn anything from all of that?
I think we can learn quite a bit about it. I wanted to ask Dick, how do you feel about the modeling there? Do you think that the models are going to fall out in the real world pretty much just like they do on the computer?
Well... You know, you ask a question like that to somebody that's going to a university and is working in a laboratory and is trying to reproduce his experimental results to match his modeling results. The answer is yes. The NEC core used to be a top secret military thing back during the war. Yeah, it works pretty good. But I don't get too excited if I'm not really close. I think the thing that most hams wonder is, what does my pattern look like? And if I did this, would it be any better? And that's really the kind of things that this bent dipole will give you an idea of what you're getting into or what you've got.
Absolutely. Well,
really great resource there, Dick. Thanks for that.
Okay. Well, we're going to have to go run down the street, see what else is happening. But I'm so thrilled that you came on, Dick, and thanks for doing it so quickly. And we'll have you back real soon. So Merry Christmas to you, and enjoy your time on the air this weekend, because it's going to be a lot of things going on, a lot of antennas happening. So thanks very much, my friend. I appreciate you being here.
Appreciate it, too. You are a nice bunch of guys. I'm sitting here giggling all the time. Happy New Year.
73.
Thank you so much.
73.
That's great. Well, George, we need to move on to you, and you've got some things about ICOM, I do believe.
Yeah, let's take a look at this and then come back and talk about a special Christmas present someone's going to get.
'Tis the season. The holidays are here. Surprise your favorite ham this season with the gift that's on their Santa list. The holidays are just around the corner, and ICOM has an array of radios to fill your stockings and place under the tree. Just arrived for the holidays, the ID51A Plus 2 provides new models for extended D-Star coverage. Available in five colors, the ID51A Plus 2 is the perfect stocking stuffer. Terminal and access mode, send and receive text messages and pictures, DV fast data mode, and easy FM repeater settings. Ideas for the contest are on the go? Try the IC7300. It's a high-performance, innovative HF transceiver with a compact design. The real fun starts here. RF direct sampling, 15 discrete bandpass filters, large 4.3-inch color touchscreen, real-time spectrum scope, and SD memory card slot. Push performance to the pinnacle with the IC7600. Following in the footsteps of ICOM's flagship radio, the IC7600 has an intuitive operation and the latest DSP technologies. Digital IF filter, dual DSP, 5.8-inch ultra-wide TFT display, and high-resolution real-time spectrum scope. Visit ICOMAmerica.com/amateur for more information on all the great ICOM radios.
And you can tune in and enter to win after each episode of Ham Nation. Go to ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation. Register to win some great swag prizes like T-shirts and hats. While you're there, learn how you could win in the monthly grand prize drawing for a new radio. And for December, and I mentioned a Christmas present. Well, this could also be a Hanukkah present or any kind of present you want to be, but it depends on who wins it. Call it what you like. It's going to be an ICOM ID51A Plus 2, the great dual band, dual watch, VHF, UHF handheld. It does analog and D-Star, has built-in GPS, DV and FM repeater list function. It's also got an independent AM-FM receiver in it. You can download a free Android app for it and a lot more. So go to ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation after this and each episode of Ham Nation. Register to win. Sign up. Good luck. And don't forget to follow ICOM America, Inc. on Facebook and Twitter. And we want to thank ICOM for sponsoring Ham Nation for the past several years here. Wouldn't be possible without them. So thanks, ICOM. And I think I'm going to go because we've got more folks coming in here. I'm just going to say Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays to everyone. I will see you again next year, but I'm going to leave you in the capable hands of our friend Dale.
Merry Christmas to you down in Mississippi. Glad to see you on here this evening. Enjoyed your little entertainment thing with the little light bulbs going off and on with the music. That was very nice. I'd like to do a shout out now also to Down Under. It's one day closer to Christmas down there, and it's my birthday. And first thing I saw this afternoon was three guys. Got ZL1LK Roy and ZL1GSM Grant and VK3GOR Gordon, all of them Ham Nation viewers, and they have already said happy birthday, and it's the day before my birthday, so that's pretty cool. Anyway, I hope you guys enjoyed the show down there. And tonight on the video segment, we're going to try for a couple of things. One is the biggest pileup ever on the set of Last Man Standing. Might not be able to get you that one right away. We're going to find out. Santa uses his ham radio to talk to kids at the mall, and the greatest gift ever to wrap it up this evening. If Brian was able to get into the Dropbox, I sent him a link to the Dropbox that John Amadeo had sent me.
I wasn't able to get that video yet, Dale, but I do have the two other videos that you sent.
Okay, very good. Well, we will skip the videos of 10-year-old Hope Lee. We'll tell you about her just a little bit, though. She's an extra class operator, believe it or not, and she's only 10. KM4IPF's the call sign, lives in Chesapeake, Virginia, flew all the way to Hollywood to work with KA6LMS on the side of Last Man Standing, and by golly, we'll get that video for you the first of the new year and figure out how Brian can get access there. But we'll skip that, and we'll move right along. And I'll tell you what, it only took three evenings until Santa makes the flight from the North Pole. But earlier this month, he took time to visit a number of youngsters in a mall in Oklahoma City via amateur radio. Don Osi is W5DRO, sent us this link to a report from KFOR, Channel 4.
The Midwest City got a chance to talk to Santa all with a radio. The Mid-Dell Amateur Radio Club set up a table at a local Walmart. Some of the kids were a little bit shy at first, and then they got excited because they got to talk to Santa. They got to tell him what they wanted for Christmas. It ranged from stuffed animals to video games. Oh, look at that little one. Santa also asked the kids what their favorite reindeer was, and the popular answer was, of course, Rudolph, because he's got the red nose.
Fair enough.
Right? Oh, and little doggy got to talk to Santa, too, apparently.
Yeah, and the man we showed earlier, that's our engineer, Don, so shout out.
Yeah, he's the one. He knows Santa personally, so
it's time for mail call.
You got it done.
Okay, Don is the assistant chief engineer there at KFOR, and when he's not helping with amateur radio events at the mall, Don's making sure their transmitter there at KFOR continues to pump out 43,000 watts full time. Well, this is the Christmas edition of Ham Nation, and we have something very special for you tonight to wrap up the video segment. Earlier this fall, Raymond Graber, he's KC0WPJ, who's 88 years young and lives in Pretty Prairie, Kansas, that's over by Hutchinson, received the greatest gift ever. Raymond hadn't seen the world around him for more than 50 years. Then he received a bionic eye. Here's the report from KSN News there in Wichita.
Things for a Kansas man, he can see again because of what is called a bionic eye. And for the 88-year-old Pretty Prairie man, it's given him the chance to do something he hasn't done in decades, see the world around him. KSN's Ashley Arnold has his experience, and that's new at 6 tonight.
Do you want your walker or your cane?
Well, depends on where we're going.
Imagine if you saw the world like this.
It's an exciting day. Yeah.
Perhaps you will be lost or feel cheated.
Well, it's nice out here.
If Raymond Graber saw the world like this, he says he would feel grateful.
What I have is called retinitis pigmentosa.
Grateful because for the past 50 years, he's only seen the world like this.
For about the first, oh, say, 25 to 30 years, I barely had enough vision to read the headlines on the newspaper.
But Raymond's view of the world didn't stop him from finding a job.
And you have to prove yourself, and I did.
Or finding his true love.
Your guys' wedding picture.
For 49 years, Beth's eyes were his eyes.
We did everything together until the day that she took her last breath.
These days, Holly offers her eyes for assistance.
He's one of our most independent people we have. Right, Raymond?
I've been told that, yeah.
She's the activity director at Prairie Sunset Home in Pretty Prairie, Kansas, where everyone loves Raymond.
He's a joy to be around. He is very into technology.
Today, anything is possible.
Sends the signals through the optical nerve to the brain.
So when Holly heard about a new procedure at UC Health in Aurora, Colorado, she immediately thought of Raymond.
I think I know exactly where you're going to sit.
Doctors gave Raymond what is known as a bionic eye, a retinal implant. It works in concert with glasses that use a miniature camera.
And on the side of the glasses is a transmitter. And this a wireless antenna, if you will, transmits wirelessly to the chip in Raymond's eye.
We just turned your camera on. So that light that's in front of you there, if you slowly point your head up.
Oh, boy. Ooh. There's a bright light.
What's that bright light look like?
Like a regular light.
When's the last time you saw a regular light?
Oh, about 50, 60 years ago.
After a half century of darkness, finally some light.
Turn it towards you, Ray. There you go.
Yeah, the finger's there. Yeah, let me see it move.
That's your thumb, buddy.
Raymond will need to adjust and learn to use his new eyes.
And it's going to take a lot of practice.
It will.
And at 88 years old, he's got some plans.
To get good enough on this thing that I can get on our public bus and go to Wendy's or McDonald's or somewhere and go home.
We got a door and a threshold coming up here. You'll feel the bump. Feel
but that? The world is a bright and beautiful place, and it always has been to Raymond.
You see that bright building over there?
It was right across from my finger.
Raymond will only be able to see black and white.
This is what gets me out of bed every day.
It's beyond.
Now he leaves the hospital with a new problem.
Raymond, we love you. I can't believe it. It's here, huh?
Wiping away the tears, temporarily blurring his vision.
I got a lot to learn.
You bet. Well, I'd say this is a great start.
Ashley Arnold, KSN News.
Very good. That is Raymond Graber, KC0WPJ, up in Pretty Prairie, 88 years, very active on a lot of the local nets here in the Wichita-Hutchinson area. And he really received a precious gift there after not being able to see for more than 50 years. And thanks to Wayne Schlader, KD0WAT, for sharing that great story with our Ham Nation audience. Well, that wraps up the video segment for 2016. We'll be back next year with another edition. Looks like I'm guessing it's going to be on January 11th. Remember now, the video segment features your videos and Shaq photos. So be sure to send yours, the link to yours anyway, to HamNationVideos at TWIT.TV. And to all our Ham Nation viewers around the world, best wishes from K0HYD for a very Merry Christmas and a happy and prosperous New Year. It's time to check out Newsline with Don 85DW live from Picayune. Don, Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Hey, and happy birthday to you. You're not the only one with the New Zealand hookup. I got a Christmas card. Yes,
that's nice.
Pardon my voice.
Oh,
yeah, that's from,
wow.
That's from Simon and Carla, ZL2FAE. You know, it's summertime over there. It's the winter solstice, so our days are going to be starting to get longer, and theirs is going to start to get a little bit colder. So all the way from New Zealand, and also I got a card from Rick, KF5GV stroke HS1 from Thailand. This is great. Absolutely
wow.
Gorgeous with the Thai writing inside. And he, let me read this to you real quick. He says, thanks so much for all your efforts and hard work for providing Newsline to those of us on the other side of the planet. So I'll pass that on to the Newsline crew, and it'll go to everybody here at Ham Nation as well, because, you know, we're all one big happy family. So Rick Lewis, thanks a lot for that. Appreciate that. That's nice, all the way from Thailand. And speaking of Newsline, why don't we check that out now? From Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2042, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, December 21st, 2016. As Amateur Radio Newsline went to production, word came from Washington that the top regulator of communications in the U.S. would resign his post.
FCC Chairman Tom Wheeler, an Obama appointee who championed the net neutrality policy, said his last day would be January 20th, the day Donald Trump takes the oath of office. The long-term impact on the agency and its regulations is the subject of speculation. Wheeler's departure leaves a tilted balance with fewer Democratic than Republican commissioners. A spokesman for Democrat Mignon Clyburn said on Thursday, December 15th, that her plan is to serve until mid-2017 when her term expires. Liberal Commissioner Jessica Rosenworcel's term has ended, and she is expected to leave the FCC by December 31st. As president, Trump will appoint Wheeler's successor. Amateur Radio Newsline will be following these developments as the new administration prepares to take office.
Paul Brown, WD9GCO, reporting. The recent wildfires in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, were a testament to what can be accomplished when all emergency personnel in a region coordinate and work together. This includes the amateur radio community. Once again, Paul Brown.
Jim Snyder, AJ4NO, was ready when the call came.
I got first notified on Monday night,
from the Red Cross asking if we could deploy an amateur radio asset to help in the shelter. So sent an operator up for that. He was there 16 hours, which is quite a long period of time.
Gatlinburg is in Sevier County and usually works with RACES. However, in this case, they also called in the surrounding area ARES groups to help. They needed the hams less for communication and more for other duties.
Call to me came from Lance Coleman, the EMA director of Blount County. He was organizing the damage assessment for Sevier County. Their EMA director was in Gatlinburg helping with the response. And so they used the amateur radio relationships to find people who had been trained in damage assessment and get them to turn out to help.
As we go to air, FEMA officials have so far estimated that the area has suffered $500 million worth of damage, and the cost of fighting the fires has topped $5 million. If you would like to help or contribute, please contact the Gatlinburg Chamber of Commerce.
Emergency readiness also counts when the weather turns challenging. That's why once a year, hams recognize skywarn operators who keep everyone on their toes and hopefully safe during so-called weather events.
Amateur radio operators across the nation celebrated Skywarn Recognition Day. Skywarn itself was formed on June the 18th, 1971, and the Recognition Day was officially developed in 1999 in a combined effort between the NWS and the ARRL, and has been an annual event ever since. Skywarn storm spotters like Rex Free, KN4CI, with the North Alabama and Southern Middle Tennessee Skywarn Group, is just one example of how trained Skywarn hams can provide crucial ground truth reports to the National Weather Service.
We've got Keith in that area with eyes on it. We've got Todd headed in from the west with eyes on it. And we've got Donna headed in from the south with the eyes on it. We need to get some damage assessments or get some additional help if we have to.
North Alabama and Southern Middle Tennessee Skywarn is not the only Skywarn group that's taken to the air, though, to assist the National Weather Service with ground truth. These Arkansas hams activated their Skywarn net just days ago in preparation for this event.
Anybody in the area between Maumelle and Mayflower, we're starting to see something that looks a little fishy on the radar. I want to see if anybody's seeing anything. If you got anything to report, please keep an eye on that storm and let us know. This is WX0X Net Control.
Without a doubt, hams that participate with active Skywarn events not only become the National Weather Service's eyes on the ground, but through their training, they're able to safely relay information that saves lives. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Bobby Best, WX4ALA in Jasper, Alabama.
For the rest of this week's Amateur Radio News, please listen to the full Amateur Radio Newsline report online on a repeater near you or on shortwave radio station WTWW at 9930 and 5085 kilohertz. And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news for four decades and counting at www.arnewsline.org. With Paul Brown, WD9GCO, Bobby Best, WX4ALA, Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team across the globe, I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW, saying 7-3, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and we'll see you next time here on Ham Nation. Now, this is where we normally slide over and check out Dr. Tamitha Scove. She's not with us tonight. She's got a lot of things to do with her family for the holidays, but she did give me some information. She says the ham bands will likely be terrible over the next few days due to the big solar storm hitting now. Fast solar wind is pummeling the earth, likely until Christmas Eve. The solar storm that hit was initially strong. It's backed off a little bit now, she says. However, expect increased noise or lack of propagation on the bands, especially on the night side, for at least 3 days. And the solar flare forecast also showing low solar flux, so even during quiet conditions, propagation will be marginal and a little bit unpredictable, much like my voice. She's been getting reports that propagation seems to be best along the gray line, and there was a huge, huge two-meter opening this morning. I mean, just wild. I was very glad I was on vacation today to get in and listen to that a little bit. I didn't make any contacts, but I listened to it for a few minutes. So there you go. Talking all over the country on 2 meters. And, of course, you can hear us all over the world on WTWW Shortwave. And they've got a thing going on right now with Christmas music and a radio picture contest. If you send them a picture showing your old-time radio or whatever radio, even if you're listening to it like I do on an ICOM 7600, send them a picture showing the radio. And you can also phone in your Christmas greetings Their number is 615-813-0173. Our friends over at WTWW Shortwave on 5085. And also, what is it? 10.12.105 with huge coverage into Africa. Amanda, I mean, it's just, it's killing them over there in Africa. Well, no, it's not killing them. It's giving them all kinds of Christmas music, which, of course, is making them happy. Wouldn't say it's killing them. It's got a killer signal, but that's probably not right either. But you have a lovely jingle bell, and it's making me happy, and it actually makes me want to shut up and listen to you now, which is probably a good thing.
Oh, my gosh. Does that actually work? I'm wearing this every show. This is the Shut Up Donna.
No, it doesn't work. Of course not. Look what I got right here. What I got right here? I got my message.
Well, where's Miss Dawn to give you a big old smooch then?
She's in there.
Okay. You'll get her later. Okay.
I'll go in.
Good evening, everybody. Before this topic goes completely sour, Merry Christmas, everyone. Glad to be here tonight. I do actually have a couple questions. Gordo, the first one's going to go to you. And Jim, KM4MQK, would like to know, why do mobile 2 meters, 70 centimeters tend to use UHF-style connectors instead of N-type? Doesn't the 300 megahertz max frequency kill the performance on the 70-centimeter band?
You know, the professionals, Amanda, will use N-connectors to minimize losses. But quite frankly, on 2 meters, almost no difference. On the 440 band, the reason we do them is because we have to, because the manufacturers may give us a pigtail that only terminates on an end connector. So end connectors, certainly good. They are weather resistant, much more than the PL259 and SO239s. So whatever the radio outputs, that's what you got to make work on your VHF, UHF antenna. But you know, on the 440 band, no one is going to know the difference if you do an N connector to an SO connector, so you can screw in your PL259. How's that for a bunch of letters, huh, Amanda?
I'm already confused. I'm writing them all down, ready to Google. Okay, no, I'm kidding, you guys. I'm kidding. I completely understand. And every time I move, I'm jingling. So my next topic is, everybody, don't forget to go to the bestoftwit.tv. And I bet Brian will show us a link that maybe we could go to vote for this. Twit's looking for your favorites from the past year of 2016. And you guys, I don't know about you, but I'm going to go around the table. If you could think off the top of your head, what was your favorite segment and what favorite show? I'm going to have to say, Hams Wild, when Tamitha Scove was on, was my absolute favorite segment. She gave us so much information and in so little time, and it was really great. So, Bob, what do you think was the best segment best show, let's say, from Ham Nation this year?
Ditto. Yes, the girls won. You gals were fabulous, so there was no question that the girls gone wild, right?
Ham's gone wild.
Oh yeah, hands down. The ladies' night. Oh, for sure. You made us look like rank amateurs. Dr. T is just the best, isn't she? We got to get her
really
licensed in 2017. Got to get her licensed in 2017. That's my mission.
She better make that her goal for her resolution. Gordo, what about you? What was your favorite of the year?
I love when George gets down to board level. I mean, I pick up so many techniques when he takes out that 25-watt, maybe it's 40-watt soldering iron, and just picks off a component and pokes one through. And same for Randy. So I love board work. Tamitha's wonderful, but I love to see the board work that our experts do.
Okay, so Gordo is Smoke and Solder a fan. So you guys on the chat room, tell us what was your favorite. And don't forget to also go online and vote as well. And then Brian, I'm sorry, I don't have the date of when those are going to be showing. Can you tell me real quick, like?
A date for the best of?
Yes.
It will be next Wednesday. So what is that going to be? Hold on. The 28th.
Okay, so December 28th, you guys should tune into twit.tv and definitely check those out as well. And when I have a spare time, I will be doing the same. So that's all I have for this evening, you guys. It's been a wonderful, wonderful year. And just to say thank you to everyone for watching the show for this year, and I hope you continue into 2017. And it's been a crazy one, not only for introduction into ham radio, and boy, have we got a lot of you guys licensed or interested into ham radio that are tuning into the show. We've also gone through tons of emergency activations this year. Aries has been really busy throughout the nation and the world, not to mention. And here, especially locally, we've been really busy as well. So I really hope that 2017 is a bit calmer in that area, honestly, and we'll stick to training and exercises to get us ready for the next one. So with that, you guys, Merry Christmas, everyone. Happy holidays. So glad I could be here tonight. And I'll send it back over to you, Bob.
Well, it's been a great year, and you've been such a great part of it. I wanted to show this before we leave. You don't realize how many people it takes to put the Twit Network on the air and keep us all going. And there's a nice card I got from all of the crew at Twit. I'm not sure where you are in there, Brian, but I think you are there. Ah, hiding. You and Alex. Ah,
there he is.
Ah, okay. Well, we, all of us here on the show, as well as the entire amateur radio community, the ARRL, and all of the people that make ham radio work, we all appreciate what you do here, and our sponsors to take time and the contribution to keep this thing going, because this doesn't happen just on a fly. It takes a lot of planning and a lot of money, and we're very thrilled to be here every Wednesday night. As goofy as some of them are, as interesting as some of them are. So stay in touch with all of us. And before I leave you, there's another little deal you might want to do. If you have a good picture of your station, maybe a bad picture, but a picture of your station, go to our site, heilsound.com, H-E-I-L-S-O-U-N-D, heilsound.com. On the Facebook page, when that site comes up, you can hit the Facebook. Post your pictures, because they're going to have a whole bunch of them up there. So paste those pictures on the Heil Sound Facebook page. And then you also want to put them up on the WTWW pages too, so we can see what you all look like and what you're doing. I think that's it for tonight. I'm going to go study some more of Dick's wonderful graphics. I hope you are enthused about that as I am. But in the meantime, we're going to leave you with something. I think Brian might have found something, and we'll play it out with some Christmas music. We'll see you all here on January the 3rd. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year, everybody.